Hence, Two Mules for Sister Sarah, voiced by Charlotte Strevens on behalf of MCS Agency. The Earth and its own shadow spins around in deep space. A universal picture. In silhouette, a lone horse and rider walks along a flat plain at the bottom of a steep hill. The sun is just beginning to show on the horizon. Another horse is tethered behind him as he ambles past a solitary, bushy tree. Shirley MacLaine. Clint Eastwood in a Martin Rackin production. A tawny owl sits in the bough of a tree. Dawn is now breaking. Two Mules for Sister Sarah. The horse and rider cross a small stream. Co-starring Manolo Fabregas. The terrain is rough and scrubby. Cactus grow haphazardly. A lazy carp swims through the clear water of a river as the rider walks alongside its tree-lined banks. A rabbit hops off into the scrub. The sun is now up. They pass along the bottom of the valley floor, kicking up the sandy soil as they trot. The snow-capped mountains behind them reaching high up into the clear sky. A sandy-coloured mountain lion sits quietly nearby, watching as they pass. The rider carefully guides his horse down a steep bank, sidestepping as he goes. The tethered horse senses the danger and is frisky. A snake slithers through the bush. It disappears against the background. Lying in a ditch, the skeleton of some long-dead human pokes out of its shallow grave. Oblivious, the rider trots on. Directed by Don Siegel. A tarantula goes about its business on the dry ground. The horse's hooves squash it as they walk on. Coming to the top of an escarpment, the rider dismounts and crouches behind a large boulder. Looking down, he sees three rough men taunting a half-naked woman. The rider fires a bullet into the center of them.
Party's over. You men can get moving.
Hey, I don't know who you are, but why be a hog, man? You can have four of us.
We also got some mighty fine whiskey here.
Yeah.
Waiting for you.
Besides,
Now what are you gonna do, you bastard? You may get me, but you sure
Sitting with his back against the boulder, the rider lights a stick of dynamite with his cigar and throws it backwards over his head. It lands at the foot of the remaining man who is holding the woman hostage around the neck. The man shoots at the rock, drops the woman and runs. The rider emerges from behind the rock and shoots him in the back. The woman is frozen to the spot. Calmly, the rider makes his way towards the burning stick of dynamite. He stamps out the fuse with his boots, tears off the wick and dampens the end with his mouth. When he's satisfied that it's out, he puts it in his pocket and turns his attention to the near-naked woman.
You keep standing around like that, the sun's gonna burn the hell out of you.
They told me they were gonna kill me. They told me they were gonna kill me, so I couldn't report them. They told me.
Well, I ain't telling you much now. So get dressed, huh?
The rider concentrates on the dead men. He goes through each of their pockets in turn. He takes whiskey, money, tobacco, guns, belts, and ammunition. When he's done, he takes a swig from the whiskey bottle and nearly chokes when he sees the woman again.
You're a good man. All my life I will pray to the Virgin to protect you from harm.
Jesus Christ.
And I will also pray that for all your life you have what you desire.
What the hell's a nun doing out here?
I'm on a mission. In Mexico, a nun can travel safely among murderers and thieves. I could have avoided these men, but instead I came to ask for food.
They give you any?
No.
Well, there's probably some leftovers there.
I couldn't eat just now.
Well, you look like I could use a shot of whiskey.
Whiskey? Thank you.
Your mule?
Yes.
No provisions, no canteen? Just how'd you figure on existing?
I was confident the Lord would provide.
Three more like them.
He also provided you.
Which way are you headed?
North.
North, huh? Well, I'm headed south, so I'll just help myself to those ponies and be on my way.
But first, we must cover them with stones. We can't leave without giving them a Christian burial of some kind.
After the way they treated you, you feel like better coming?
Of course.
You're gonna be touched in the head.
Do you have a shovel?
Sister, raise your eyes to heaven.
The vultures circle.
Now, are they or are they not God's creatures?
Well, of course they are.
Well, why do you want to rob them of all this convenient nourishment?
Do you have a shovel?
Yeah, it's on my pack horse over the hill.
Then would you get it and cover them, please, for the sake of my soul, if not your own?
Sister, I don't mind shooting them for you, but I'll be damned if I'm going to sweat over them for you.
You're as stubborn as my mule, you know.
Of course.
The rider sits eating a plate of beans. The nun laboriously buries the men under a mound of stones. Two sticks in the shape of a cross make up the headstone. It's hard work, and wearing a full habit and wimple, she is hot and tired by the end of it. The rider dispassionately looks on.
How the blisters?
Other things in life have hurt more.
She hands him the shovel.
Thank you, brother.
It's Hogan.
I'm Sister Sarah.
Well, Sister Sarah, if you ever get tired of being a nun, you can look forward to being an A1 gravedigger, that's for sure. Hey, you better have some of these beans. Those fellas weren't much in a fight, but one of them wasn't a bad cook.
I couldn't eat anything they cooked, but I'll have some of your water, please.
Yeah, help yourself.
After drinking from the canteen Hogan gives her, she marches down the bank to the graves. Making the sign of the cross, she blesses each one with water. Furiously, Hogan stops eating, runs down the bank and snatches the canteen away from her.
You really are touched.
Could you give that back to me, please?
Sister, you want to bless him, you bless him dry. Oblige you about all I'm going to, sister. Now I'll say goodbye. You stay out of that sun now, you hear? You're gonna really be in trouble.
Bye. Thank you again. God go with you.
Walking away from her, he brusquely tips his hat at her. Sarah untethers her mule and leads it up the bank to Hogan on top of the escarpment. In the distance, a posse of riders are coming towards them.
Hey, you're in luck. Looks like a French cavalry headed this way. You can probably travel along with them.
Please help me. They're looking for me.
Why?
I was raising money for the Mexican army, and they found out. I had to run in the middle of the night. Please.
Lady, if you weren't a nun, I'd let you save your own bacon. All right, you do as I say and act fast. And get rid of that cross. It shines like a mirror. You bring that last horse and follow me.
Running back to the graves, Hogan uncovers one of the bodies.
What are you doing?
I'm doing for you what no holy virgin's in any position to do.
He lies the corpse across one of the spare horses and gives it a slap. It gallops off into the shrubs as they continue upstream.
We'll walk slowly so as not to stir up the stream bed any more than we have to.
Why did you put that dead man on the horse?
Because a horse with a rider makes a deeper print than a horse without a rider. We're lucky the French will follow those ponies. Here, eat this. I told you to eat something back there. If your stomach keeps growling like that, they'll have the whole French army on us.
You know these little noises can only be heard a few feet away. Why are you so angry with me? What have I done?
Well, maybe a nun ought not be so good looking.
The way I look is of no importance. I'm married to our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's exactly what I'm steamed up about, sister, if you'll pardon my being frank.
I'm not offended, Brother Hogan.
Oh, don't brother me.
Excuse me.
Some distance behind them, the cavalry follow upstream. Hidden by the trees, Hogan checks their progress. The officer in charge stops them when he notices track marks on the bank. Using the stepping stones to cross the river back to Sarah, Hogan's spurs jangle.
They split up, damn it, and they're catching up. I wouldn't just sit there, move.
Quickly mounting his horse, Hogan rides off. They come across an abandoned stone fortress.
We can't outrun them. You can get in there.
Let me shoot it. I may not get all of them, but I will get their attention. You wait a bit and then head on out the other way.
You've been a wonderful friend, Mr. Hogan. Go with God.
Lead him out of this, huh? Get moving.
Sarah leads her mule into the crumbled remains of one of the rooms.
I can't go in there.
Why not?
There's a rattlesnake in there.
Keep singing, partner.
Carefully approaching the coiled-up snake, Hogan steps on it with his boot and with his knife cuts its head off. Sarah pulls a face when he hands the rest of it to her.
Get that mule in here. Here, we get split up, this one's good eating.
With the snake in one hand, she leads her mule inside. After hiding his own horse, Hogan carefully looks around for a good vantage point. He finds a section of wall with plenty of lookouts. He lays all the rifles he has in each post. Finally, he takes his gun and waits. Sarah stands with her mule at the other end of the fortress, praying against one of the stone walls. Hogan looks through the lookout posts and sees the cavalry approach. Hogan releases the catch on his gun and takes aim. The officer gives the signal to halt and go and search the place.
Nous sommes sur la ligne dedans.
One of the soldiers approaches Sarah's hiding place. She rattles the tail of the snake. He hastily backs off.
Il n'y a rien.
On the all clear, the soldiers gallop off. Hogan still watches them. When the last one has disappeared, Hogan goes to get Sarah. Thinking the soldier has returned, Sarah rattles the snake. Hogan approaches cautiously.
Well, well. Too bad nuns don't play poker. You'd be sharp at it.
There's no way I can thank you. I suppose you'll be starting south now.
No, it's getting too close to dark. We'll have a hot meal first. Can nuns cook?
I do.
Good. Your late gentleman friends donated us some beans and coffee. But first, I'll scratch up some firewood.
He takes the rattlesnake from her.
It's hard to believe that rattlesnake could taste so delicious.
Mm. Yeah, ladies first.
Sitting near the campfire, he hands her the tin coffee cup.
You say you were headed north. Any particular place?
I want to try to find one of the Juarista bands. I'll be safe with them.
Where were you coming from?
Chihuahua.
Chihuahua? You live there?
Mm-hmm. For several years.
French garrison at Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm. Right next to the church.
You wouldn't by any chance know how many soldiers in the garrison? More or less, you know.
About 200 and some cannon.
How do you know all that?
The French officers wanted to learn to speak Spanish. So my mother's superior assigned the task to me. I also speak French. I went into the garrison 3 times a week. I hate them. Oh, how I hate them.
Ain't it a sin for nuns to hate?
Not if it's something evil. The French army killing and torturing the Mexican people, trying to force them to become one of their colonies. I hate them.
How big is the garrison?
2 stories. Years ago, it used to be a monastery.
It's one of those kind of buildings with an open patio.
Beautiful patio and
a balcony around the top floor and a staircase leading down?
That's right.
Say it's next to a church. How far apart are they, exactly?
Well, I don't know exactly, but in some places, not more than 10 or 12 feet.
When you're on the roof of the church, is the top floor of the garrison higher or lower?
Lower. Much lower.
Sentries?
Day and night at the front gate.
Sister Sarah, you're going to slow me up some, but I'm going to take you to one of those guerrilla bands you're looking for.
Do you belong to one of them?
Till I get paid, yeah.
Paid? You mean in gold?
Well, let's put it this way. They pay me off in tortillas. I'm going to shoot them right in the eye.
But the Juaristas are too poor to hire anybody.
Well, I made a deal to work out a plan to take the garrison. If it pays off, then I get half the French treasury.
And you don't have any sympathy for their cause?
Not theirs or anybody else's. See, I spent 2 years in a war in the States. Right now, all I'm interested in is money.
If money is all you care about, then why did you fight in that war?
Everybody's got a right to be a sucker once.
Mr. Hogan.
Hmm?
The 14th of July is a French holiday. By noon of that day last year, the entire French garrison was drunk.
What's the date today?
July the 6th.
Beautiful. That information puts gold right in my pocket. This calls for a drink.
Well, I'll be leaving you for a few moments.
Well, be careful not to go too far. There might be another rattler.
I'll pray as I walk.
I'll keep my back there, and don't worry.
You're a real gentleman, Mr. Hogan.
Picking up his discarded cigar butt from the ground, she finds a secluded spot. Hogan goes to his horse and takes the whiskey bottle from his saddlebag and has a good long swig. Sarah hoicks her leg up under her knee and inhales deeply, smiling with relief and satisfaction. Sarah smiles serenely as she walks back to the camp.
You haven't had much experience sleeping on the ground.
Oh, I'm very tired. I'll sleep.
For somebody who's wore out, you sure got a happy look on your face.
It was a miracle you found me when you did, Mr. Hogan.
Oh, that was no miracle. Just an accident, and life is full of them.
No, it was a miracle.
Yes, ma'am. 2 men are riding along side by side. A bullet ricochets off a rock, kills one of them, doesn't kill the other. Just an accident, that's all. No miracle.
Then you believe there are no miracles?
Well, now you take that fellow this morning. If he could have picked up that stick of dynamite and thrown it back at me before I shot him, now that would have been a miracle. Nice to hear you laugh, ma'am.
You think nuns don't laugh?
I don't know. I never spent a night with one before.
Good night, Mr. Hogan. Thank you very much again for everything.
Still smiling, she pulls the blanket up to her neck and closes her eyes. Smoking his cigar, Hogan admires her prostrate form, shakes his head, pulls his hat over his eyes, and goes to sleep.
Hey, wake up, sister. Time to get moving.
Couldn't I please sleep a little longer?
Not if you want to travel with me, you don't.
I'm so stiff. Oh, I'm not accustomed to riding like that. Would you please help me up? Oh, thank you. Oh, every muscle is aching. How can I possibly ride again today?
Well, I ride from sun up to sundown. You either keep up or you don't.
He hands her the coffee cup.
You'll feel better when you've spent a few hours on your mule.
You make very good coffee.
Man of his own has to take care of himself.
So you're not married?
Nope.
Ever been?
Nope.
He douses the fire.
Want to be?
Nope.
Don't you want a woman of your own?
What for?
Share your name, bear your children, be a companion.
To ask me to quit drinking, quit gambling, save my money, and to bitch about her aches and pains all day? No, thanks.
Must be a lonely life.
It's a great life. Women when I want them, and none with the name of Hogan. How about you, ma'am? Haven't you ever wanted to be a whole woman? Have a man make love to you, have children?
I've chosen a different way of life.
Well, what about when you get those feelings that your God gave every woman, including you? No, I've always wondered about that.
Well, we're human, of course. When we get those feelings, we pray until they pass.
In your case, sister, just how much praying does that take? What about before you became a nun? Do you ever have a man?
No.
Ever been kissed by one?
No.
Haven't you ever laid awake at night wondering what it'd be like?
No.
All the women I've ever met were natural-born liars. But I never knew about nuns till now.
You're right. I lied.
I'll say one thing, sister. I sure would like to have met up with you before you took to them clothes and them vows.
She smiles at him and then stops herself. They pack camp and set off. The sun is relentless, the land flat, stony, dusty and barren. Crossing over a stone bridge, Hogan dismounts, tethers his horse and checks the mule's hoof.
That limp's getting worse. Stone bruised.
Take a week for that to heal up. Well, maybe the people in this village will hide you out until this animal comes around.
Why couldn't I ride the pack horse?
Because he carries my equipment, that's why. And I ain't about to miss being in Chihuahua on the 14th.
Please, Brother Hogan.
Look, I told you not to brother me.
All right, Mr. Mule. You know you were right. You are as stubborn as my mule.
When we get up that village, sister, then I'll say adios. This is where we part company.
Sarah gets off her mule and walks it. Passing a shrine along the wayside, she stops and makes the sign of the cross.
Now what are you doing?
I must say a prayer at the shrine.
You said your prayers last night, and this morning you're going to wear them out.
It's a sin to pass a shrine without praying.
Not if you shut your eyes, it isn't.
Please, Mr. Hogan.
All right, it's a small shrine. Let's make it a small prayer.
As she prays, a local man on a donkey trots past.
Buenos días, hermano.
He raises his sombrero respectfully. Making the sign of the cross, Sarah quickly runs after him. Hogan gets back on his horse and waits. Wondering what she's up to, he rides up to her.
You see, Mr. Mr. Holden, what a little prayer can do? The Lord provided me with a kind gentleman who accepted my mule in exchange for this creature of God. Now I can still be with you.
It's a donkey.
Your mule for that burrow? Well, if that kind gentleman traded you even, you won't be meeting up with him in heaven.
Dryly, Hogan walks on. Sarah attempts to sit side-saddle on the beast, but the donkey won't keep still. She slips off. It goes round and round in circles. Climbing up on a small boulder, she finally manages to leap on it. The donkey is tiny. She swamps it with her legs sticking out of her habit either side. She pats its back with her hand, and off they trot. They arrive at a village and dismount. With Sarah leading her donkey, they cross over a stone bridge and come to the market. It's a lively, colourful place full of villagers selling their wares on small wooden tables with canopies. As Sarah walks purposefully through the market, Hogan stops and buys a piece of juicy melon from one of the traders. The man, wearing a sombrero and poncho, flicks away the flies using a long stick with fronds on the end.
De papaya. Gracias.
As Hogan eats it, Sarah returns with a local.
This man lives in the hills, there. 3 hours ago, on his way to the market, he passed the French patrol.
But where were they headed?
A qué dirección iba marchando?
I saw you in the hills.
Get the supplies we need to move out.
It's a moonlit night. The horses are frisky. Hogan wakes Sarah.
I want you up in that tree.
What tree? Why? Please, Mr. Hogan. Looking down from heights frightens me.
Then look up. I think there's a mountain lion around here, and I want you up there. Excuse me, sister.
With his hand on her bottom, he pushes her up the tree, then runs to his saddlebag. Taking out a bag of gunpowder, he draws a circle around them with it.
What are you doing?
You can't see him. You can't shoot him.
Sarah clings to the trunk of the tree for dear life.
How you doing, sister?
Looking up.
Good. Well, we won't talk now. I'd like him to make his run if he's going to.
Sitting underneath the tree, Hogan lights a cigar. After a pause, he lights the circle of gunpowder with it. The ignited powder throws out a thick, smoky flame which shows up the faces of women and children moving through the trees.
What the hell? Who the hell are these people?
Oigan, soy monja. El señor trata de proteger nuestros animales.
Come on, get down from there. Turn around, I'll catch you.
Amigos, ¿qué hacen ustedes aquí esta noche?
Venimos huyendo de los franceses que están en la estación de Satebo.
Están esperando el tren de Santa María.
Huh? What'd you say about Santa María?
They're running away from the French soldiers at Satebo, waiting for a train for Santa María.
Santa María is the town I'm headed for. Those warriors I have that deal with are hiding out there somewhere. You got to find out why the French are going there.
All right. You can be sure I will.
All right, Santa Teresa is a long way away, so let's get some sleep.
Muchas gracias, pobrecitos.
By the way, sister, I guess I owe you an apology when I was trying to get you up the tree there.
Oh, no apology is necessary, Mr. Hogan. In emergencies, the church grants dispensation. Anyway, it's no sin that you push me up the tree with your hands on my ass.
Shocked at what he's just heard, Hogan sits up to look at her.
Where'd you learn that kind of English?
What kind?
Ass.
Oh, in the convent. Sister Harriet taught us different words for different parts of the body. This part she called the ass.
Where was this Sister Harriet from, anyway?
New Orleans. Why?
Hogan smiles wickedly.
I'd sure as hell like to know what she did before she became a nun.
It's morning. From his vantage point, Hogan watches Sarah lead her donkey through the French soldiers' camp. She passes row upon row of neat and orderly canvas tents.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Sarah watches a band of soldiers marching with a prisoner. They march him to a clearing next to the side of the railway station where they stop. A group of women lag behind.
Demi-tour à gauche. En avant. Marche. Demi-tour à gauche. En avant. Marche. En arrêt. Demi-tour en arrière.
The handsome young Mexican is stood up against the wall of the station and blindfolded. Sarah's face crumples.
Préparez-vous.
The prisoner shouts out defiantly. His woman weeps uncontrollably. Shot through the heart, he slithers down the wall, leaving a trail of blood behind him. His distraught woman runs up to him, removes his blindfold, and cradles his head in her lap. The other women make the sign of the cross and whisper prayers. Still watching, Sarah's face is wet with tears. An officer sees Sarah and runs towards her.
Ma sœur, s'il vous plaît. Venez avec moi, s'il vous plaît.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Please, an officer is dying. Come with me, please. Prenez garde de l'animal.
Oui, mais capitaine.
Even though you are not a priest, you can give him some spiritual comfort. Our colonel is very, very ill.
The officer takes her arm and guides her inside a darkened room in the station.
Il est sur le point de mourir.
Docteur, permettez que la sœur le bénisse.
Horrified, Sarah recognizes the dying officer. She is beckoned to his bedside. Laying her rosary on his chest, she makes the sign of the cross and fervently prays beside him. She takes the rosary and kisses it. He opens his eyes and blurrily looks at her.
Fais-toi, you filthy bitch!
Sister, you must kiss the cross.
Sister, he was delirious. You must forgive him.
I forgive him. I forgive him with all my heart.
She presses the cross to his lips and closes his eyes.
Now he is with God.
Back on her donkey, she doesn't stop when she passes Hogan. She rides straight up to where his horse is tethered and leaps off. Desperately, she searches for the whiskey bottle and knocks it back like no tomorrow when she finds it.
You can drink them, Sal.
You're going to get cockeyed drunk. What happened down there?
I was recognized. That's what happened.
By who?
I've never been so frightened. I had visions of being shot.
Who recognized you? What'd he do?
He died.
What the hell are you talking about?
I was asked to give spiritual comfort to one of the colonels who was dying of fever. When I saw him, I nearly fainted. He was one of the officers I taught Spanish at the fort in Chihuahua. Oh, thank God none of the others believed what he called me.
What did he call you?
A filthy warista.
All right, so he died and you're safe. Now, what did you find out?
They're waiting for a train due today for Santa Maria so they can load it with supplies and ammunition.
Well, you did all right, sister. See, between here and Santa Maria, there's got to be a gorge. Where there's a gorge, there has to be a trestle. Yeah, all we gotta do is make sure we get there before the train does.
Will you burn it?
I'll blow it to hell and gone with the train on it. Come on, get up. You're gonna have to ride, else I'll have to leave you.
I am not intoxicated.
Well, you ought to be. That's a hell of a lot of whiskey before breakfast.
My faith in God will turn it to water.
We'd better hurry. I've never seen a train blown to hell and gone before.
Drinking from the whiskey bottle, Hogan catches up with her. The sun is high and the sky is clear. Picking their way through a rocky ravine, Hogan is shot in the shoulder by an arrow. The force of it knocks him off his horse. Indians look down on them from all sides. The chief and his warriors slowly ride towards them. In pain and rolling on the ground, Hogan attempts to shoot his gun. Sarah deliberately obscures his view.
Get out of my line of fire, sister.
Can you kill them all with one pistol? Put it away. These are Yaquis. They're wild and pagan, but the church has reached some of them.
Sarah removes her rosary and holds it up high in front of her.
Can you get on your horse?
I think so.
Then tell me when you're on it.
Sarah holds it first to the left side and then to the right, so that all the Yaqui can see it.
Be very careful not to show any pain or weakness.
With difficulty, Hogan climbs back onto his horse.
You'll have to stop that when we get closer. Are you on?
I'm on.
The cross catches the sunlight and glints fiercely. It reflects into the face of the elder and his warriors just as another arrow is being prepared. At the last second, the elder stops it. Still holding the cross directly in front of her, Sarah slowly advances towards the elder. After a few tense moments, he gives a signal. They turn on their tails and ride back the way they came. With Hogan propped under a tree drinking, Sarah runs up from the stream carrying his hat, which is full of something.
Yes, I left them there for this. Damn, is that... Oh, got them off.
No.
That'll stop the flesh from putrefying.
Well, what should I do with
it? Well, I'll take you through it step by step. First, I gotta get drunker than I am.
How much time has passed since I got here?
You asked me that 10 minutes ago.
What was your answer?
About an hour.
All right. I want you to cut a groove in this shaft, this arrow. Just deep enough for a good pinch of gunpowder.
Gunpowder,
that's right. I have cauterized the inside, they tell me. I don't know if this arrow's near my heart. I don't think so. With some women said my heart ain't exactly in the right place. All right, start cutting. And don't worry if I yell a little bit. Come on, my beautiful sister, save my damn life. Damn Yarkies. You don't want me to lose my deal now, do you?
Concentrating, Sarah begins to cut a groove in the shaft of the arrow with his knife.
The parson, he did come. You know, this ain't such a nice song. It's the only one I know well enough I can sing drunk.
I don't care what you sing.
He's got a beautiful character, you know. Anyway, it's about a Protestant parson, not a Catholic one. Parson, here you come, here you come. And he looks so bloody glum as he talked to Kingdom Come. Well, he can kiss my ruddy bum. Damn his eyes. I need another bottle. More whiskey.
Removing the cork with her teeth, she hands him another bottle from his saddlebag and then goes back to cutting the groove in the arrow.
That's the last bottle you got.
Last one. Oh, that's bad news, sister. I'm sorry I can't share any with you, but you gotta have a steady hand. The sheriff, he did come too. He came too. Yes, the sheriff, he came too, he came too. Oh, the sheriff, he came too, with his men all dressed in blue. Lord, they were a bloody crew.
She shaves off a piece about 2 inches long.
That's not bad, not bad. That's right, you're married to a carpenter, huh?
No.
Cut the shaft off right there.
Cut?
Yep. Now it's up the rope I'll go. Yes, it's... up the rope I'll go, up I'll go. And those bastards down below, they'll say, Sam, we told you so. Sam, we told you so. Damn, there I...
May I break it?
The shaft in his shoulder is now about 4 inches long.
Over an hour.
That damn train. That train on its way, I know it is. Remember what I told you about accidents? We didn't have to run across those damn Yankees, but we did. No miracle. Just a rotten, lousy accident's gonna cost me my whole deal. Get me up straight. Get me up straight.
She helps him sit up.
You are a beautiful woman, Sister Sarah. You feel like a beautiful woman. You smell like a beautiful woman.
Please, Mr. Hogan.
I can't help thinking, you know, the first time I saw you when you were almost naked.
You must forget that.
I can't forget that, sister, my beautiful sister. I don't want to forget it. Every night when we bed down next to each other, I think of you that way. And I want to reach out and touch you and hold you and feel you.
I forgive you because I know that if you weren't drunk, you wouldn't be talking.
Maybe, maybe so. But you can't stop a man from wishing it. I sure wish you were a nun.
Please, Mr. Hogan.
All right. All right, give me some gunpowder out of my saddlebag. Don't come near me till I tell you.
Hogan lights his cigar.
Pour some in your hand and leave the pouch there. Fill the groove. Fill in the groove. That's fine. All right, now comes the hard part. Because we gotta time this perfect. As soon as I light the powder, you drive the arrow through me and pull it out the other side.
Sarah pulls a face.
What do I hit it with?
Take the knife, put the flat part over the end, and hit it with a gun. And please, Sister Sarah, please hit it a straight blow, not a glancing one, huh?
What if I don't hit it straight?
How's the hell then, my beautiful sister? The arrow will break off inside me. Now, I know you're an A1 gravedigger, but...
All right. What do I do with the moth?
You plug the holes, both sides. Push it in about a half inch. All right. One last swallow, and it's up to you, Doc.
Sarah moves away from him and raises her eyes to heaven.
Brian, me?
Yes.
Well, then I must be drunk enough. Damn my eyes. I find that kind of touching. One last thing, sister. The powder's gonna flare up when I light it, so watch yourself. Now, you can load up the animals and we'll be on our way as soon as you get this stick out of me.
Kneeling in front of Hogan and holding the butt of the gun against the flat of the knife, Sarah takes aim.
Ready?
The arrow goes straight through his body and out the other side, which Sarah then pulls free. Hogan slumps unconscious. Frantically, she searches for his whiskey bottle and takes a slug.
Mr. Hogan! Mr. Hogan. Mr. Hogan, remember the train. The train with the French supplies. You have to blow it up.
Hogan regains consciousness.
How long since I've been hit?
Hours.
What?
You fell unconscious.
Well, why didn't you wake me up?
Well, I thought you were...
You thought. The hell you thought. You let me down, sister. You let me down.
Then why don't you get on your horse?
With one arm in a sling, Hogan finally clambers up on his horse. He lurches forward, nearly falling off.
Oh, you're too drunk to ride alone. I'll have to get on with you. Hold on to the mane.
She leaps up behind him.
Lean back against me. Lean back. Tell your horse to get moving.
Oh, I like being in the arms of a good-looking nun. How do you like it, sister?
The church allows this for the sake of your safety, but you may not take liberties.
I apologize, ma'am. I most sincerely do.
They cross the harsh, unforgiving land, the donkey tethered behind, until they reach a dried-up riverbed.
Thank you.
Will you look at that trestle? Couldn't be sweeter.
It's a miracle.
Great place for an accident.
Is this small package of dynamite powerful enough?
Not if you put it down here at the base, but if you put it up high on those braces,
pow.
From the riverbed to the top, the braces stretch 50 feet high.
How can you climb that trestle with your shoulder?
Sarah looks from Hogan to the trestle, and from the trestle back to Hogan.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Mr. Hogan.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Remember, I saved your life.
Well, I saved yours today, too.
Well, I saved yours twice from the French. Now, remember that.
I saved yours twice. Remember the arrow?
What are you going to do? You going to desert me in my hour of need? Now, what about that deadly rattlesnake when you were hiding from them soldiers?
That was easy. That was no risk at all.
Did I or did I not come to you in your hour of need? Now, this is my hour of need.
But just what kind of need is your need? All you ever have on your mind is money.
Well, what's more important than that?
My life. If I climb that trestle, I'll fall.
A fine, psalm-singing hypocrite you are. The French are going to slaughter a whole outfit of your Juaristas, and you're the only one who can help them. And you won't climb one lousy, stinking trestle. That's right, sister. You lean on it. A little of that good old-fashioned Christian faith will carry you up there like a bird. I know you're scared, Sarah. Those braces are easy to climb. You just keep thinking of all those Christian lives you're going to be saving. Have faith in that wonderful shiny cross, and God and all those saints will be right up there with you.
Suppose they are with me as I climb. You haven't yet told me how you'll set this off when
I get... You let me worry about that. I'll go with my rifle now. You get going. Surely that train's on its way.
With the dynamite slung over her arm, Sarah begins to climb. It's hard work hoisting herself up to each brace. She doesn't dare look down.
Keep going. I want the dynamite all the way up on top so I can get a clear shot at it. That's it, sister.
Sarah's clothes don't help. Her leather boots have no grip and keep slipping on the wooden braces. The rosary hanging from her waist glints in the sunshine. Nearly at the top, she's so high she's on a level with a viaduct in the distance. With shaking hands, she positions the dynamite. Back on the ground, shock takes over, and she finishes the bottle of whiskey.
You're entitled. You certainly are entitled. But I never did see anybody get used to hard liquor so fast. Now, I want to take a few practice shots without ammunition. You turn around, face the bridge. Come on, turn around.
He rests his rifle on her right shoulder.
Just like that. Now, when I tell you to, I want you to take a deep breath and hold it. Come on, grab the end of the barrel. This ain't easy. Take your fingers off the top of it. All right, now take a deep breath. Hold it.
You wouldn't.
wouldn't have hit that dynamite.
Yes, I would.
No, I saw the end of the gun move when you pulled the trigger.
Look, I'd have hit it.
Put out your hand. Let's see how steady it is. Oh, you're still drunk. You'll never hit that.
I'll hit it.
Put a bullet in it, and let's see if you can hit something about the same size.
All right.
That little rock over there. Over there, that little rock on top of the big rock. Let's see if you can hit that. It's the same size.
You cock this for me. Just pull down that lever as hard as you can.
This?
And slam it shut, yeah. Perfect. All right.
He rests the rifle on her shoulder once more and takes aim.
Take a breath.
He misses.
I'll cock it again. I guess we better try it with you sitting and me kneeling. Go ahead, get down. This ain't easy now. All right. Take a breath.
He still misses the rock.
Can you shoot?
No, I can't shoot, and you made me climb that thing for nothing.
Now, take it easy. Just wait a minute. I'm sobering up fast. Meanwhile, you fix me a cup of hot coffee.
I'll fix you some hot coffee!
Furious, she punches him in the face and knocks him down.
Sober up! You sober up, you dirty bastard, or I'll kill you! Sit up!
She repositions herself and the gun for him to shoot just as the train pulls into sight.
Now tell me when to hold my breath. Mother, God help, there's no good ideas to shoot straight.
He misses. She cocks the gun again. The dynamite catches. Spectacularly, the steam train careers off the bridge and dives headfirst into the riverbed. The carriages come tumbling after. Hogan is flung on top of Sarah from the force of the explosion. Face to face, they're covered in smoke and dust.
What did I tell you?
Did I or did I not hear you call me a bastard?
Well, I suppose whiskey can make a man hear anything. Oh, dear Lord, forgive him for the impurity of his thoughts.
They approach a low-roofed shack.
Ah, there's the cantina I'm looking for. I may need your help. Is it all right for you to go into a saloon?
In times like this, the church
grants dispensations. I know.
The words El Gato Negro are painted on the wall outside. Hogan cautiously steps over the threshold, followed by Sarah. Two girls, one with a baby strapped to her back, stop and stare. They walk past and into the saloon, where they sit at a small table. The locals inside stare at them.
Buenas tardes, señor.
Buenas tardes, hermana.
Habla inglés?
Yes, I am speaking English.
Good, good. Tequila? Oh, you like something?
Do you have lemonade?
Sí, hermana.
I'll have a lemonade. You're going to get drunk again, are you?
Oh, I never get drunk unless I'm shot by Yankees.
Then why the tequila?
Just gonna oil up my arm, sister, that's all.
I don't think they've seen a nun in here for quite some time.
Not one like you, that's for sure.
Gracias.
Hey. Sí, señor.
Any of these men in here speak English?
No, señor.
You sure?
Sure, me only.
Good. Well, I'd like to order a bottle of French champagne. Here's 1789. French champagne, 1789.
What is it, senor?
What's what?
This champagne.
Is there another El Gato Negro saloon in this town?
No.
Are you the owner of this one?
No.
Well, who is?
Mi padre. Mi father.
Yeah, when does he get here?
Por favor, señor.
La cuenta, por favor.
That's, well, that's my luck. They give me a code and the man who has it isn't here. Probably show up on the 15th of July.
Mr. Hogan, you should be happy you're still alive.
What do you want from your life anyway? A ranch? Cattle? What do you want?
A ranch? You mean get up at sunrise, go to bed at sunset, rear in the saddle all day? No thanks, sister. I'd rather be dead.
No, sister, there's this town called San Francisco that's booming. And if I get this stake, well, I'm gonna open myself up the biggest gambling saloon in the whole area.
With long red mahogany bars and green felt tables. And we'll play roulette and dice and faro and all those wonderful games. And I realize that doesn't mean much to you, but to me, that's living.
Some men have strange desires.
Where the hell's your father?
Senor, he is sick, enfermo.
It's important that I see him. Where is he?
Since 3 days now, he cannot talk. All this side, no move.
Does he understand you when you talk to him?
Si, senor.
Does he understand English?
Not so good like me, but my mother, she with him. Un momento. Madre!
The young man walks across to an adjoining building. Hogan and Sarah follow.
He no can speak.
May we see him?
Si quiere, hermana.
Please to come.
The man is lying asleep in bed. Cornbread is cooking on an open fire, and a tiny kitten plays nearby. The room is small and basic, with roughly hewn stone walls.
Francisco.
The man opens his eyes.
Can you understand me, senor?
He lifts his index finger.
That means yes.
I need a bottle of French champagne. You're 1789.
He lifts his finger again.
I must see Colonel Beltran at once. Can you take me to where his camp is?
His wife shakes her head.
What about your son? Can he take me there?
She shakes her head again.
Does anybody in this town know where the camp is?
And again. The man moves his lips and hand. His wife interprets.
Don Ezequiel, el hacendado. Horacio, el velero. The candlemaker. She says the candlemaker knows.
On horseback, the candlemaker leads the way along the flat plains, broken only by isolated mountains. They pass some local graves.
In Mexico, when somebody die or is killed in a road, we put crosses. So these crosses not make anybody think anything. Now we go that way.
How far, Horacio?
Not far.
He guides them through the dry grass and over the rocky terrain. Suddenly, they find themselves in a trap. Rope, entwined with spikes, enclose them on all sides.
Put away your gun, gringo.
Name's Hogan. Beltran's expecting me.
You mean Colonel Beltran.
Colonel General, what difference does it make? Take me to him.
Síganme!
In single file, led by one of Beltran's men, Hogan and Sarah follow. On the hill above them, another warista, a lone horse and rider, watches them approach.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing the hill with Sarah and the donkey bringing up the rear, they pass another warista, hunched down on the hillside, keeping watch at his post. Slowly, they zigzag up to the top of the hill. At the top, the hill turns mountainous. Yet another warista sits hidden with his rifle in a rocky overhang directly above them as they pass. As they slowly make their way along the path, they pass somber-looking young women and children, young men and boys. They litter the route to the summit, their camp, the caves in the mountain and the overhanging rock. From above, Colonel Beltran watches their approach.
I have been waiting for you, Hogan. What happened to you?
I stopped a Yaki arrow.
That means you never got to Chihuahua?
Mr. Sarah here saved me a good part of the trip.
Mister, how?
Deal still on?
I keep to my word. And you?
You get me a bottle of tequila and I'll lay you out a plan as smooth as a baby's behind.
You tell me the plan. I will tell you how smooth it is.
Cornbread cooks as they sit inside the cave.
The roof of the garrison is lower than the roof of the church. And on the 14th of July, you have promised us, sister, that all the Frenchmen will be drunk. Not bad, Hogan, not bad. Thank you, sister.
Yeah, we make quite a team. In fact, if we pull this off, we might just go in the garrison business together. Right, sister?
If we follow what you did to the train by capturing the garrison, all of my people will take heart.
How many men do you have?
40, but there'll be more by the time we reach Chihuahua.
How many more?
50 to 60.
I thought you were a colonel in the Mexican army.
I am.
Any army I ever heard about, a colonel commands a full regiment.
Yes, in a parade, but not after all the fighting we've been through.
You know, when you got me into this thing, you told me you had no artillery. What about dynamite? Do you have any of that?
None.
Less than 100 rifles, a few machetes, and not much more. Even drunk, the French are gonna blow your heads off.
You don't know my men. Each one of them tough, courageous, and a Mexican patriot.
Isn't that sweet? But I happen to be a Hogan patriot, and I'd like to have some dynamite working with me.
I would welcome all you can get. You show me the tree that it's growing on, I'll have my men pick it.
Probably plenty for sale across the border in Texas.
Yeah, but that takes money. Even the food you ate and that bottle were donated to us. Bien, we leave for Chihuahua tomorrow. You can come with us and fight under my orders, my way, or go back to that Texas bar that I found you in.
Hogan stands confrontationally.
I'm in on this deal and no son of a bitch is taking me out of it.
Beltran stands. They face one another. It's a tense moment. Sitting between them, Sarah looks from one face to the other.
If any other bastard spoke to me like that, he would be dead. But since you have helped Mexico, I am giving you the chance to get on your horse and leave this camp alive. Now get out of here fast.
I ain't leaving here.
Colonel, please. This ring, it's gold. It'll buy dynamite. Perhaps some of your people have other things that could be sold. If someone will show me the way back to Santa Maria, I'll go from house to house tonight begging for help.
Dynamite would save the lives of some of my men.
Beltran gives Sarah his ring.
I told you I was staying on this deal, Colonel. Did you know that nobody over in Texas is going to sell a load of dynamite to a Mexican?
I am asking you, buy dynamite for us.
I'd love to. Oh, sister, you better sew this back on. I don't want to have
have those people see you go around half-dressed.
He gives her the belt from her habit, used as his arm sling.
This is better than killing each other, no?
I only figured there was going to be one funeral. Catholic.
Oh? I didn't know that you were Catholic.
Beltran paces up and down in the shadowy cave, his men waiting with him, some standing, some sitting, some lying. Hearing the sound of horses approach, he stops pacing and smiles.
¿Cómo le fue, hermana?
Muy bien. Magnífico.
Beltran wakes the sleeping Hogan.
Hogan. Oh. Easy, Hogan. There are no yaki arrows here, just a nun.
How'd you do?
I'm not sure.
What do you mean you're not sure? You must know if you've got something worthwhile.
I just don't know how much it'll bring in Texas.
She shows him gold trinkets, necklaces, and jewels.
You don't?
Buy enough dynamite to give my horse a rupture. You did real well for me, sister. The cause.
Maybe this will buy you a bottle of medicine to keep your arm well oiled.
Can you give this?
I want to.
I like you better as a juarista than as a nun, little sister.
Sarah gives Hogan her rosary.
Well, I'll just see you in Chihuahua.
Right. If we take the fort, we'll owe ourselves a celebration. I might even put a little whiskey in your lemonade.
Mr. Hogan, there's something I'd like to talk to you
about. Bring in your horses now.
Oh, fine. My pack horse has some handguns and some Winchesters. I'm sure you'll know what to do with them.
Gracias.
Nothing, just a gift from some old friends of Sister Sarah's.
Saquen las armas de la remota!
Could we talk, please?
I can't, sister. I need every second to get where I'm going.
Where are we going to meet up?
Just outside of Chihuahua, as you're driving south, there is a little church. Be there as early as you can on the morning of the 14th. Good riding.
Don't let those French spend that money before we can get there. Goodbye, sister.
Goodbye.
Hogan shakes Beltran's hand and, holding the bag of jewelry, leaves. Subdued, Sarah and Beltran watch him ride off into the night. It's a beautiful, clear day. His pack horse behind him, Hogan rides along the precipitous, rocky mountain top. The mountains behind him bathed in low cloud. The sunlight catches in the foliage as he passes over a plain with a thick, lush forest climbing up into the mountains on one side. As dawn breaks, his silhouette stands out as he slowly rides down a coarse, steep mountainside into the arid, dusty valley below. The sun is high when Hogan arrives at the church to the south of Chihuahua. When she hears him coming, Sarah smiles.
Hello, Mr. Hogan.
How do, sister?
Glad to see you back safe.
Waiting for the dynamite, huh?
And you.
Want me personal?
I missed you.
Yeah. Well, to tell you the truth, it's felt kind of wrong the past few days not having your burrow slowing me up.
Did it?
Yeah, damn it.
What's the matter?
Well, you see, there's a problem, sister. I should have never met up with you in the first place.
Come, Beltran's waiting.
Sarah taps her donkey with a stick and rides off into the scrub. Hogan follows. They trot past some old stone ruins and eventually arrive at a clearing.
Where have you been, Hogan? There are only a few more hours of daylight.
Well, I had to go to three towns to get it, but I've got all the dynamite we need, plus plenty of cigars.
Ignacio, agarra esa dinamita y llévasela a los hombres del campamento. Salimos para la iglesia enseguida.
My men will be leaving for the church in a few minutes.
How many men do you have?
Over 100. Let us go.
In single file, with Beltran in the lead, they quickly ride off. The monotonous scrubland and gorse changes to a plain with trees, breaking it up, and a line of blue mountains in the distance following the horizon. Blending in with the trees as they ride, they make towards the outline of a whitewashed stone church tower. The cross on the top reaching up tall and proud, a row of church bells dangling underneath. The church is very large with many stories. The magnificent blossoms of a tree hang like bunches of grapes opposite the entrance. There is no one around as Hogan, Sarah and Beltran go inside. Hogan reluctantly removes his sombrero. Just inside the door, Beltran and Sarah kneel and make the sign of the cross. Hogan doesn't, he plays lip service. They walk down the centre of the nave, passing an elderly man with a stick. The church is old and crumbling, and as they progress, one of the Juaristas watches them from the balcony. A few of Beltran's men are sitting in the front pew. They get up and fall into step behind them as they pass. They all walk through the cloisters, and on Beltran's signal, the rest of his men appear and fall into line. With Beltran in the lead, they swarm up several stone staircases. Snatches of their faces can be seen through the arches of the cloisters on each floor as they walk through. The sombreros of the men, identical in colour and shape, bob up and down as they climb the stairs. Like a snake, 100 men wind their way to the top and come out onto the church roof. Still in single file, they follow the contours of the building and climb up one last set of steps to arrive on the roof at the same level as the church bells. Crouching low, Beltran and Hogan peer over the edge of the roof and look down into the garrison below. The soldiers are hurrying hither and thither, performing drills, keeping watch and generally going about their business. Beltran and Hogan look at one another, not understanding. Hogan quickly creeps back to Sarah.
Nobody's drunk. Nobody's even drinking there.
You got your calendars mixed up, sister.
No, I didn't. It is their Independence Day, July the 14th.
What went wrong?
It is the train you blew up. It put them on the alert. To attack now would be suicide. Surprise is impossible.
Without the element of surprise, I will never attack superior forces.
Instead of giving up so easy, why don't you just listen a minute?
I am listening to you. But I have my mind on my men,
All you have on yours is money.
All right, listen, I think I know how we can get a surprise. Three streets from here, there's a house. It used to be the residence of the bishop. To protect him in the rainy season, there was a tunnel. It led from the house to the garrison when it used to be a monastery. And after the bishop moved, the monks built a wall, closing it up. I think you can break through.
Who lives in there now?
Very good friends of mine.
Trustworthy?
Yes, very trustworthy.
Good, then I got something that'll work.
What?
Fire. Hey, when you were given those Spanish lessons, you ever get a peek at where they kept the garrison money?
Sarah crouches down and leads them back to the edge of the roof. She points with her finger.
They used to pay me from a strong box in the general's office, second floor, in that building right over there.
Yeah, was it iron or wood?
Iron.
Great. That means it won't burn. Now, I figure if we separate your men into four groups, giving them coal oil and dynamite, and let the first group hit that main gate, have the second group go through that tunnel she's talking about and bust into the courtyard, and the third group hit that gate over there. And the fourth group made up of your best riflemen, we'll have right up here. They can pick off the sentries and set fire to the top of the garrison. Of course, this all has to happen at the same time.
First, we shall wait for the cover of night.
All right.
And second, some women and children carrying a piñata filled with dynamite might get close enough to that front gate.
What's a piñata?
It's an old Mexican way of livening up a party. Come, come.
The guitar player stops when Sarah and company comes into the parlor. A young woman exclaims. Madame appears wearing a floaty negligee and silk knickerbockers. She grabs Sarah's ass with both hands, much to Hogan's horror.
Atáquense. Una monja. Sarita, baby! You're safe! They didn't get you! They didn't get my favorite girl!
Sister Sarah, this here's a cat house.
Oh, no, Hogan. This is no cat house. This is the best whorehouse in town!
Sarah whips off her wimple, and arm in arm, they waltz off.
Day and night, night and day out there in that desert. You made a sucker out of me.
I didn't want to. You forced me to.
What the hell are you talking about? I forced you to.
Oh, what's the first thing you said to me when we saw the cavalry? You said if I wasn't a nun, you'd let me save my own bacon. Por favor. And then after I told you about the garrison, you said if I wasn't a nun, you'd just as soon say adios and thank you. Well, I wanted to be with you. I wanted to be safe. I tried to tell you that night at Beltran's camp, but you were too damn busy to listen. Well, what are you looking so surprised about, you no good atheist? Move. Could be, you know. I've saved your bacon. Again.
With a scarf around her head and pinching a cigar, she descends the steps of the cellar.
Try el resto de los hombres.
Hogan and Beltran follow. They all watch while the brick wall is attacked with a pickaxe.
Hogan, piñata.
The piñata looks like a brightly decorated papier-mâché ram. Hogan puts the coal oil and dynamite in a jar in its tummy.
Coal oil?
Yes.
All right, have them put this thing against the building, outside the gate.
How long a fuse are you putting in?
Approximately 30 seconds. That'll give them enough time to get on down the street.
They are going to be women and children, remember.
Any longer a fuse might be seen. Just don't make the children too young or the women too old. Tell him not to trip.
Now you fill the jar with candies and nuts, just like we do at the birthday party.
Coronel!
Llévensela.
Beltran is called away. The brick wall now has a large hole in it. Looking in with a lantern, he disturbs the bats.
Hogan, the tunnel is open.
Holding lanterns, Sarah and Hogan follow Beltran through the hole into the secret tunnel. The rest of the Warristas follow.
Hogan,
They come out in the garrison prison cellar. Men are shackled to the walls. Beltran speaks to a half-starved prisoner.
Libérenlos. My men will have them free.
¿Por dónde los metieron?
Por arriba. Por la escalera.
Beltran walks the length of the cavern, followed by the others. They climb up some steps at the far end. At the top of those, a vertical stepladder reaches up to an iron grill trapdoor about 6 feet high. Hogan tries it.
Is gone.
They'd have to open the trap door if they had another prisoner. The French want me very badly. Why don't you turn me over and ask for a reward?
Está bien. Even though they don't put you in here, it will get Hogan inside the gate. It is a chance to open this door.
Hogan walks back down the steps.
I don't like it. We'll find another way.
What other way?
I don't know. Let me think about it.
There's no time to think about it.
I still don't like it.
We have to get that trap door open, too, don't we?
You know what you're talking about. It's crazy, Sarah.
Listen, Hogan. Everybody's got a right to be a sucker once.
Hogan squints at her hard, not liking her tone.
How can we be sure we hit him from different directions all at the same time?
I will put the man in the belfry of the church. As soon as he sees you and Sarah entering the garrison, he will ring the bells 3 times. The women with the piñata will start up the street at a slow walk. So from the time you enter the gate and the bells ring, it will be 4 minutes till the explosion.
Slow enough, make it 6.
Bien, 6.
All right, let's go give a Spanish lesson.
Ustedes quédense aquí hasta que el americano abra la alcantarilla.
Beltran's men disperse, whilst he, Hogan and Sarah retrace their steps back down the dark tunnel. Just as Sarah is stepping through the hole in the brick wall...
Hold it. I don't know how this is going to come out, but I owe this to myself.
Hogan kisses her hungrily. She willingly kisses him back.
We better go.
Bad time for a war. Bad time.
The town looks very pretty with all the light spilling from the houses. It makes the night appear even blacker. Holding Sarah by the arm, Hogan marches her up to the front gate of the garrison, passing Beltran, who is hiding in the shadows.
Anybody in there speak English?
What is it you wish here?
Well, I have something out here I think will interest you.
Sergeant, ouvrez la porte.
The sentry inside opens the door.
Oui, monsieur. Oh, mon Dieu, Mrs. Sarah. Entrez, entrez.
Come on, you little cottontail.
Hogan gives her ass a kick with his boot.
Sergeant, fermez la porte. The general himself will want to meet you. Un moment.
Oh, Captain, now wait just a minute. I've just about had a bellyful of this little Juarista. She's been yapping at me for 3 days now. If your general wants to socialize, that's up to him, but I'd just soon have her locked up while I'm talking to him.
Je regrette.
In the belfry, the signal is given.
Pinata right outside. When I give you the signal, you get ready to move.
Well, this little cottontail sure does wish you had that cross back.
Hey, vous deux! Approchez, s'il vous plaît.
The general and his compatriots are sitting down to supper. At his command, Sarah walks the length of the table and stops in front of him.
Passez, s'il vous plaît. Excuse me, monsieur, but I'm certainly not laughing at you, but at this costume. Come to think of it, we shall have to shoot you dressed like that.
Well, General, now I understand that raising money for the Mexican army is a crime.
So shooting a lieutenant? Hmm?
Did that bastard die?
Yes, the lieutenant died, and you will too.
Monsieur?
I'm General Leclerc.
Well, my name's Hamilton, General. Tex to my friends.
How do you do, monsieur? How come you caught this little pigeon for us, eh?
Well, you see, I have this spread up north. And in rides this nun.
Beltran gives the signal for the women to set off with the piñata. The men on the church roof lie at the ready with their rifles cocked. The words Viva Francia are written on the banner which the women hold as they slowly approach the front gate. The piñata is suspended on a yoke between them which swings gently from side to side.
And when I heard that, I said to myself, Tex, you just gotta haul her on down here and turn her in. You know, I hate them damn juaristas. Do nothing but cause me trouble all the time. Well, they got my Mexes laying around just praying for independence.
And you did know we posted the reward?
A reward?
200 gold francs.
How about that? Certainly better than a stab in the eye with a sharp stick.
Sarah is looking nervous.
Why don't you just go ahead and lock her up and then send me on my way?
Lock her up? Oh, no, no, monsieur. Condemned prisoners are entitled to a last night of relaxation. Wine or cognac, Sarah?
Cognac, a full glass, please.
Anything my sweet-tempered little pigeon desires. Colonel, please, bring 200 francs.
Oui, mon général.
Monsieur Hamilton, Tex?
I'll make mine smaller than the one you poured her. I'm just a country boy.
None of us can keep pace with Sarah, in cognac or any other way. To your virtues, and especially your vices, Sarah. What a pity to bury them both.
Sarah knocks back the cognac. Hogan looks at her sideways. He sips his.
Excuse me, Monsieur Hamilton. A people who know how to sing, the Mexicans. Are you familiar with that melody, Monsieur?
Can't say that I am.
Ah, las mañanitas, for birthdays and weddings and whatnot. Lovely.
Throwing open a window, Leclerc watches the women approach through the bars.
My, I'm touching. They know it is our Independence Day and they come to toast us. Do you know what the piñata is, monsieur?
Can't say that I do.
Come and see. A charming invention. They build a figure, usually of an animal, made of papier-mâché, with a clay jar hidden in the center of the body. They fill the jar with candies, nuts and fruits and small toys, and then they suspend it from a limb of a tree.
The women leave the piñata at the gate. Before they go, using a candle, they light the fuse in the animal's body.
Well, that's real cute.
Oh,
Hogan shoots LeClaire and the others. He runs out into the compound with Sarah. They're both blown to the ground when the piñata explodes.
Viva Mexico!
Shouts Beltran as the French sound the alarm.
Come on.
The soldiers grab their rifles and run out into the compound.
Over here. To the house and pour yourself another cognac.
Hogan pushes Sarah over the wall to safety. Secure inside the garrison, the soldiers fire a Gatling gun through the window, gunning down the Juaristas as they pour into the courtyard. The Juaristas on the roof shoot at the soldiers down in the compound and throw coal oil bombs which explode on impact. Running through the compound, Hogan hides in the shadows against the wall. When two soldiers run past, he shoots them. Is shot as he stands playing. The dynamite blows up everything it hits, the French, the buildings, and even the trees. Hogan narrowly misses a bullet. The soldier he shoots falls at his feet from the roof above. Hogan finally stops the Gatling gun by throwing up a stick of dynamite into the second floor window where it's coming from. One poor Juarista is shot holding a coal oil bomb. He catches fire and plunges to his death from the church roof, nothing but a ball of flame. Lighting a stick of dynamite from his breast pocket, Hogan hurls it at the water tower standing in the courtyard. The explosion causes mayhem. Using this as cover, he finds some spare horses. Hogan lights another stick of dynamite and grabs the horses. They gallop off, dragging him along the ground behind them. He lets go as he passes the outer door to the prison compound. He hurls the dynamite at it. The door explodes. Picking himself off the ground, he runs inside and releases the bolt on the outside of the iron trap door. Beltran's men pour out. The Mexicans continue to hurl sticks of dynamite at the French. In the courtyard, the opposing sides shoot at each other. There is a wall of fire. One brave Mexican dies in an attempt to run through it. An explosion blows up the wooden staircase the French are firing from. Finally, the Mexicans and French come face to face. The French with their bayonets, and the Mexicans their machetes and guns. Armed combat begins in earnest. Beltran and his men join the fray. Hogan follows. There are small fires and dead bodies everywhere. Some are shot in the face. Some are stuck with their nets. The fighting is dirty. Faces are split with machetes and limbs are chopped off. Hogan forces his way through the fighting in the compound and climbs up the wooden stairs to the second floor of the garrison. Once inside, he uses the Gatling gun and shoots a handful of soldiers who come streaming out from another door. Behind them, he spies the well-padlocked iron safe. Triumphantly, Beltran's men burn the Viva Francia banner. Smugly, Hogan wheels the safe into the whorehouse parlor.
Where's Sarah?
Last door, hall left, my room.
Sarah, open up. Get out of the bath.
Will you go away and come back later? I want to be all dressed up for you.
Who the hell wants to see you dressed?
Throwing down his cigar and using the wheelbarrow and safe as a battering ram, he breaks down the door. Sarah lies in the bathtub smoking. He snatches the cigar from her mouth and, removing only his gun belt, fully clothed, he steps into the bath. Lying on top of her, he gets straight down to it and kisses her.
The least you can do is take off your hat.
I haven't got time for that.
The bubbles slop over the sides, and Sarah, still kissing him, drops his worn leather cowboy hat to the floor. The splashes of water on the hat become more vigorous. Hogan leads the way once more across the arid plains. But this time, his pack horse is laden down with hat boxes and frippery.
Come on.
Sarah brings up the rear. Still on her donkey, but this time dressed in the most fashionable of silks and satins. She wears a huge bonnet with marabou feathers waving in the breeze on her head. Lowering her delicate lace parasol, she gently taps the donkey with it. It runs after Hogan. The end.